Lutherans in the UK, Living Grace.
Welcome to listen and watch the next episode of the podcast Lutherans in the UK, Living Grace. And we are live on air from Trident House, from Council of Lutheran Churches office, which is also the Lutheran Churches in Great Britain's office. My name is Meili Sult. I'm outreach coordinator in the Council of Lutheran Churches. And my co-presenter here is Anna Kraus, who is General Secretary of the Council of Lutheran Churches.
Hello.
And the topics that we are discussing in this episode are first our own activities, the Council of Lutheran Churches, what we are doing, what we have been doing, where we are. We are also talking about the Lutheran Church in Great Britain, past events and upcoming events, especially thinking about bishop election. And we want to share also some information what the student chaplaincy of the Council of Lutheran Churches is doing. So we are expecting an update about upcoming events as well. So these are the topics for the next half an hour. But let's start where we are. Anna, can you explain? This is a new place for the Council of Lutheran Churches.
Yeah, very exciting. We have moved into our new long-anticipated office here in Southwark. And it's great. It's great. We have a space just to do our office work. We sit here in our what we call the recording studio. It's quite small, but we've got a lot of nice stuff that we can do here and in the rest of the building. We've got some meeting rooms that are named after important places for Lutheranism in the UK. Corby, Hawthorpe after Hawthorpe Hall, and Thanet after Thanet Street, where our student centre was placed, located. And we've got a library with Lutheran literature that is filling up at the moment. Thank you, Bishop. And just a really nice area in which we're located as well, I think. Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, you already mentioned that together with us is Bishop Thorberger Jørgensen, the chair of the Council of Lutheran Churches and Bishop of the Lutheran Church in Great Britain. How important is that we have finally our joint office in London?
Yeah, I think this is a really important strategical kind of point for us here, because when I was elected bishop 4 years ago, there was a very tiny little place with a person who had responsibility only once a week, with very limited capacity to be there serving the church. So through the cooperation now with an invitation from the council, we are able to have a stable place and also a staff here combined, which is making things very much better for us than it was before. So I'm looking forward to this. And we opened the office in October, didn't we? And now we are here, and we have had the synod meeting even here for the church, so that is showing the new center for us as a Lutheran family or a Lutheran community here in the UK.
And we should also mention that this space is open for member churches, for our friends and guests.
Yes, absolutely. You can just get in touch and ask whether we've got a space free for whatever date you need a space for. We've got some churches come here to use the recording equipment for their own podcasts or recordings they want to do for their churches. We've got meeting spaces, as the bishop mentioned. You can have, I think, up to 30 people we can sort of fit. And smaller rooms, larger rooms, so you can split up in groups. We've got some churches that just want to do, you know, packing the newsletter into envelopes and sending it out. So there's loads of stuff you can actually come here for. We're normally open during the week, during working hours, and if you want to come outside the working hours, then we'd ask you for a deposit if you're a member church. if you come from the outside, not a member Church of Ours, not involved with CLC, you can still ask whether we've got some space for you, and then we would ask you for, I think, £25 an hour for the use of the space.
And I think we should mention also that it is sort of interesting place for us church-wise. It is not very far from Southwark Cathedral, and the Bishop of Southwark was also together with us when we opened this office. So that is a sort of what we call the Porvoo communion kind of expression with that connection. So that is good for us.
Yes, absolutely. I think we are also getting more involved in churches together in Southwark and other ecumenical things that are going on in the area. So it's a really exciting time for us to be here, I think.
We could also mention one of the events that we were hosting and together with Churches Together in England and in this office space. It was a series of webinars and seminars on storytelling. And I think that was a good way of bringing people together and also talking about things which are important for churches.
Yeah, it all started because we've got one pastor in our member churches, Pastor Fleming, who is a professional storyteller, and he's just written a book, or his book has been translated into English, and I thought it would be great if he could sort of do a webinar, seminar for us. And we just wanted to open it up for wider ecumenical community, so we invited CTE to co-host that with us, and they sort of added two other webinars to the series, one on the art of spoken word that was very much about poetry and how to speak in that way in the churches. And the second one they added was on how to engage the media, which is also a very important topic, I think, and how to sell your stories to the media, whether that's print or online. So that was, I think that was a really exciting thing we did, Mix, wasn't it?
Yes, and I was also surprised that people who were not connected with churches came to the storytelling seminar and wanted to know how to tell a good story. So I think that is also very, very good. And for people to know that these webinars and also the seminar, in-person seminar, they are recorded. Mm-hmm. And I was just checking, even if people would go to our homepage right now, lutheran.org.uk, then on front page there is still link to those recorded webinars on storytelling. So I think they were with good content and very good advices, so people can find those webinars and watch later and learn a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and it was very good for me. Then I was back in my own home country, Norway, so I could participate at least at the first of those webinars. And it was really both meaningful, challenging, and informative. So that is also a new time for us that we can be international in this way, and that we have now the facilities here to do that. So that is very good.
Yeah, I think it's good that you mention it, because we bought this space during the pandemic, and obviously online hybrid was all the rage, and so we're quite well set up, I think, for hybrid work, online work, live streaming.
Talking about ecumenical relations, then Churches Together in England was already mentioned. Together we did this webinar on storytelling, which was mentioned. But your role, Anna, there is in upcoming years bigger.
Yeah, very exciting thing. Churches Together England has sort of six church families, I'd say, and each of those church families has one, it's called president. So there would be the Anglicans, and the president will always be the Archbishop of Canterbury, etc. And we, the Council of Lutheran Churches, and our member churches are part of what's called the fourth presidency group. That's sort of the odds and sorts, the churches that don't fit in any of the other categories. And we're together with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in England and the German-speaking Protestant Synod and the Society of Friends, or Quakers. And until now, also the Church of Scotland in England, but they will probably move to the Free Churches group soon. And it's basically my term to be the president of that group for the next 4 years, starting in May, so super soon. And that's really exciting.
Yeah, I think this is an important position for us as Lutherans. And I don't know, I think I wrote a letter of recommendation for you as a,
thank you.
A
yes.
candidate to become a have that position. And I'm so happy for that, both for that you personally can be there for us, and then at the same time you can make a contribution, I think, in many ways. And I imagine that your age is not necessarily common for many of the church leaders coming together in the CTE, some top level.
No, so my age is unusual. I'm comparatively young. I mean, I'm not super young, but comparatively young. And my gender is not so common, because when you look at the Church of England, it's unlikely they will have a female Archbishop of Canterbury anytime soon, I think. The Roman Catholics won't have a female representative as a president, I think. The Orthodox churches, so there are at least three out of the six churches, for very obvious reasons, will not have a woman anyway. And then at the moment, there's just one other woman, Helen Cameron, who's representing the Free Churches group. So that's the other thing. And then I'm not ordained. I'm the only lay member as well. So yeah, quite unusual in many respects, I think.
Yeah, very good. So we're very happy for that, I must say.
Could you just give some example? What would be your responsibility in some of those activities?
Right. So what the presidents do is they meet every now and then, whenever the calendars of the archbishops allow to meet together. Obviously, it's quite a busy time for Justin Welby, as you can imagine, with the coronation just around the corner at the moment. And we discuss what's going on in our church groups, which can be quite different. At the moment, obviously, the war in Ukraine is quite a big topic, where a lot of churches work to support and help the refugees, for example, coming to the UK, and the church is sort of dotted around Ukraine and in Ukraine. The presidents also issue statements where we can all come together as Christian churches and feel the need to have a common statement on certain matters, for example, climate justice, matters of common interest, where we feel as churches we need to have a strong voice, and that would be issued through the presidents. We have representational duties whenever we're invited to events. That's a bit difficult at the moment, because our chair or president that was elected to do the role before me, Hannah from the Quakers, she lives in a same-sex marriage, and that some churches didn't particularly appreciate that, and they asked her not to enact her role, because that would have split CTE. And she very graciously said she wouldn't. So we had an empty chair for the last 4 years. That was a difficult period for Hannah personally, of course, I think, and for the fourth presidency group, because we were not represented in the same way whenever the other presidents went out and did their representational duties, so to speak. So you would have seen some at the Queen's funeral, for example, and most of the other presidents were there. Or when they launched the big lunch for the coronation weekend, again, there were some of the presidents that were invited to that. So that's sort of the representational level we're speaking about. But obviously, for our group of churches, it's quite important to also bring our topics into the wider group of churches. And there are certainly issues that we as a group don't agree on. But we have, during the last 4 years, really developed a collegial way of working together, where it's not like the person who's the president is suddenly the big leader of the group. It's just more a convener, and then taking some of the other members of the group to the president's meetings, so we can be represented as a group rather than just through one particular person.
Lutherans in the UK, living grace.
Another topic that I would like to discuss and bring to attention is the Lutheran World Federation's pre-assembly, which happened a month ago in Oxford. And the Lutheran Church in Great Britain, together with the Council of Lutheran Churches, was hosting this event. But we should start explaining what is this pre-assembly of the Lutheran World Federation.
Yeah, you are looking at me, and that is a way that the Lutherans are preparing their big seventh year, like coming together on a world level, you know, around the world. And then to get prepared for that, they have then regional pre-assemblies. And one of those assemblies were then for the European Fellowship of Lutheran Churches here, LWF members. And they are having these pre-assemblies then on various places. And this time, our church, LCIGB, the Lutheran Church in Great Britain, was asked to consider whether it could receive guests from all over Europe and arrange this. And the church enthusiastically said yes, but practically the need for help with that was also then depending on the cooperation with the Lutheran Council. Mm-hmm. So we were so happy that the Lutheran Council, which is also in its own right, has a sort of position in the Lutheran World Federation. Can you explain a little about that for us?
I mean, the council is not a church. It's a charity, legally, as a legal entity. And it's more like an umbrella organization for various Lutheran member churches. The Lutheran Church in Great Britain is the British member church, but there are also German churches, Norwegian churches, sort of with a mother church in a different European country. And because we are not a church, we can't have the same status. We can't be a full member of various bodies, for example, the Lutheran World Federation, but we're sort of an associated council.
Yeah, but then I think in the Lutheran World Federation, with all its member churches, there are two such mm-hmm. councils.
And we are one of them.
And, with the, and you, we are one of them.
Yes.
And that is so beautiful that we are. So it was not only facilitating this for us, supporting us, but you are also have your own right there. So that was a very interesting meeting for us. And it was arranged in Oxford, in one of the colleges there, in Mansfield College.
Yes.
Which has an interesting history too. Mm-hmm. And you have tried to study that a little,
yes.
Anna, isn't that correct?
Yeah, it was rediscovered by our previous student chaplain, Reverend Sarah, who worked there as a student chaplain as well. And we've had long-standing links with that, as Lutherans with that college, because after the war, the Lutheran World Federation funded a post there for a Lutheran tutor, because there was a need to educate Lutheran pastors in this country. And Mansfield College very happily hosted those tutors. And that was something that happened from the 1950s until the late 1990s. There's a long tradition there.
Yeah.
And one of them even became principal of Mansfield College in the
80s. Yes, and many of the local pastors we have had, well, not many, but some of them are mm-hmm. then educated there. So that was a connection too. So this that was very interesting.
Yeah.
And the assembly itself shall be arranged in the General Assembly for the Lutheran World Federation shall be then in September in Krakow in Poland. So we had the theme for this as a sort of main theme also for us and discussed mm-hmm. things on the agenda for the Lutheran Fellowship around the in the world.
Yeah. I mean, again, you could see, you know, we came from all over Europe with very different, I think, focuses on certain topics. So we as the communion did not agree on everything, I think. But it was good to see that the Lutheran World Federation can still live in diversity, even though it's difficult sometimes to accept that, I think.
Yeah, and I think the big issue here, as it also obviously was then in CTE, if you look at that, mm-hmm. you mentioned that, the question of same-sex relationships mm-hmm. are among those questions who are of the greatest high on mm-hmm. the agenda in many corners of the church, and that is also part of the Lutheran tradition. You have mm-hmm. the big national churches like in Sweden, Norway, where I come from, Denmark, and so on, where these questions are more or less solved now, mm-hmm. very inclusively. And then you have churches from another cultural background, yep. from other parts of the world, which have another view on mm-hmm. this. And we felt that, I think we can yep. say, during the pre-assembly too, that this was an item which yep. is not easy to even use. What kind of language yep. shall you use? Can you highlight the topic itself? Is that offensive? Is that difficult? Is mm-hmm. that creating sort of tensions? So I'm very much looking forward to participate in Krakow and seeing how we are able, mm-hmm. inside the framework of the Lutheran communion, to be able to handle this. Living yep. here in the UK too, it is a sort of strange or difficult to see how the Anglican Church and the Anglican Communion is also struggling very much with this item.
Yep, absolutely. I think we're not alone in that particular respect with our thoughts and our difficulties, I think.
Yeah, and we had the synod meeting, you mentioned that, Melis, at the introduction here, just last Saturday, and that was actually also an item on the agenda then, not only electing a new bishop, which I'm very happy for, we were able to do in a very good way, but we had also a common statement, as we call it, which were discussed and approved by the synod. And that has been with us, that document, for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. It was accepted by the Ministerium of the LCIGB 10 years ago. But the final sort of acknowledgement of the document has not been, that process hasn't been finalized. So now the time was there. Some of us mm-hmm. have been fielding for a long time. And also the Church Council then felt that we need to get this through mm-hmm. the, or at least acknowledged by the synod. So it was then introduced. Mm-hmm. And there was some discussion and there was some disagreement in the voting on that. And afterwards now I am, as a bishop, also very concerned about how this is received in all quarters of our mm-hmm. church and what kind of complications and difficulties that can create. So we must face that mm-hmm. in the spirit of both being one body mm-hmm. and we have a common hope and a common faith in yep. Jesus Christ. So that this is a big, big challenge for small churches and for bigger churches still. But yes. I must say that we are happy with LCIGB for years. We opened up for female pastors at mm-hmm. an early stage, and we have been inclusive in the way that we have received people who could not become and live as pastors in their own countries, mm-hmm. But had to come to us. And they have been accepted and included in our ministerium and in our church work. So therefore, we have a tradition for this. Mm-hmm. And now we must help each other further to promote this and being able to live with also lack of unity or understand, mm-hmm. same understanding of this matter.
Yeah.
If I should come very quickly, shortly back to the European Pre-Assembly topic, then one of the things is that the Pre-Assembly sends a message mm-hmm. basically to the whole Assembly in the Lutheran World Federation, which will be presented in Krakow. So what would be some of the main topics that European region will present to the whole Lutheran communion?
Mm-hmm. I'll start off with one and then you can sort of add the rest. I think obviously the climate crisis is a huge topic for our churches. And I'm sure that will be a topic for churches around the globe, where we will have very different perspectives on certain issues in Europe. We're probably, not as affected. We are affected, but not as affected as other parts of the world, I think. And coming together globally and hearing the perspective of other churches on that topic will be extremely interesting. Also, I think very interesting was that a lot of the established Lutheran churches in Germany, in the Nordic countries, were very scared about the loss of members at the moment. But they operate still on a much higher level than we in the UK can as Lutheran churches. Lutheran Church in Great Britain, for example, has always been a small church that has lacked a lot of resources that other churches have had in the past. And it was really interesting to see how scared they were of something like that, and how we in the UK can actually say you don't need to be that afraid of getting smaller. That's not the point of a church in it at its core, I think. Yeah,
and then I would, to your question, Mel, it is important to say that this same sexual matters, things, gender questions, were also at the fore in the discussions in Mansfield College. So there was a sort of, how shall we express that in this text? And there was also certain uncertainty around this. And there was a reference in general terms to the pushback when it comes to gender-based violence and so on. And also into that, it was the reference then to new way of living together. And I think the last part of this message then, I will read a sentence from that, Melissa, if that's all right. We need to continue to listen to each other carefully and not to give up on one another for convenience or for indifference. We must find ways of dealing with questions which could be community-dividing in courageous and respectful ways. And I think that is the strongest word we were able to use, but I think it is a strong message also to be included one way or another in the discussions coming on this issue in Krakow.
Lutherans in the UK, living grace.
This is our podcast. My name is Melis Sult. Anna Kraus is next to me, and also Bishop Duor is with us. And one bigger theme we want to talk about is also the Synod of the Lutheran Church in Great Britain. It was also mentioned already in the text here, but it is very recent. Let's say the biggest topic was the election of a new bishop. Bishop Duor, you are about to retire. We are, of course, sorry about that. We are happy that you are still around and will stay with the Council of Lutheran Churches, I hope, at least a year more. But yes, the Lutheran Church in Great Britain was electing a new bishop.
Yeah, and that was a very interesting experience. We are not an old church, 62 years old as a church body, and we got the sort of bishop title or bishop function in 2000, so it's only 23 years since then we started that. So I've been the fourth bishop, isn't that correct? Mm-hmm. It's a very short list of bishops, but I now will retire through age and the agreement we had, so we had to elect a new one. And for the first time then in this short history, though, we had a sort of real election, not only appointing to one person and asking the synod to accept that person, but we had three candidates, two from our own church and then a good friend of the Lutheran cause here in the UK for many, many years, Jakob Rusama, who is then Finnish but have been living here and teaching and studying at Cambridge. The end of that was that in the first round, all the three candidates got the same number of votes, mm-hmm. which in itself, I think, was very nice. Here, everyone has the same support, but one has to be elected. So therefore, it ended up with Jaco, and I'm very, very happy for that.
And Anna, what is your impression about the election process? You were part of the mm-hmm. Bishop Search Committee observing also mm-hmm. how things went at the Synod.
Yeah, I think it was an interesting process because there were a lot of questions thrown up through that situation of suddenly having more than one candidate. How does the process work? What kind of elections will we have? What is the selection process look like? Who is involved at what stage, etc.? So it was quite a lot the church had to work through and had to communicate with the people in the church as well. I think it's, I mean, it's a small church, but it's, you know, we need to reach the people and, you know, make them a part of this whole process somehow. Yeah, so there were a lot of difficult questions, I think, that we needed to answer. And, I mean, the strongest point, I think, was that the new bishop should be present in the UK. I mean, you had a very difficult period with COVID. There was not a lot you could do about meeting people other than being online somehow. And also the fact that your predecessor was also not living in the UK permanently. I think there was a strong feeling that this should be the case of the next bishop. And I think that encouraged some to apply from within the church, which wasn't the case previously, and I think that was a good sign. Yeah.
We can try to connect, actually, with the bishop-elect. Some words about him before we make the call. He is a researcher at the University of Helsinki,
yes.
A Finnish theologian, associate professor, and also part of the Anglican Lutheran Society. He has the role as a Lutheran moderator of the Anglican Lutheran Society. And he is actually part of the St. Anne's Lutheran Church. So we know him.
Yes.
And he should know the church also for a quite a long time already. So I'm calling to Bishop-elect Jaakko now.
Hello.
Hello, is this Jaakko Rusama?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, very well. All the Estonians can pronounce my name.
You can turn the sound of your computer maybe down, then you don't hear the echo, and it's easier to talk to us.
I'll. Okay, is it better now?
Now it's much better. So the sports journalists, they always ask, how do you feel? What's the feeling? What's the feeling of being bishop-elect of the Lutheran Church in Great Britain?
Embarrassing, surprised, and most grateful that there are so many people who thought that I might be a person who could help the LCIGB to grow. That is probably my first feeling.
And what would you say? What are your first priorities if you think about the Lutheran Church in Great Britain? We have talked in this podcast about some of our activities, but you as a new bishop starting end of October, what do you see? What are the priorities for you?
Well, I think this video, this discussion is a good example of what is the nature and character of the LCIGB. We have there, here I'm looking at the screen, there are three persons coming from different cultural backgrounds and even using originally probably different languages. I'm now the fourth one. So the one of the character and nature of the LCIGB is very international and in many ways also global. And it is very helpful and very useful idea and basis and principle for a small church, which means I think that our church, the LCIGB, can be with its diversity, it can be very flexible when it's multilingual, multicultural, and multi-ethnic. We can easily reach out to many people. So when you're asking about the something about my vision, I would say that the LCIGB can be very proactive, not reactive, but proactive, very inclusive church and ecumenically active. Ecumenism and ecumenical questions have been my sort of main field for decades. And when we are talking about the LCIGB, then we are talking about also the clear Lutheran identity, which is essential when we have ecumenical contacts with other churches. But I think most of all, probably the most important thing is that that we feel that the LCIGB is not an institution or not a neutral charity, but it is a community of Christians, community of believers, and it is a one church. We try to show and express the unity in Christ.
Yes, it's so nice to have you online here, Jakob. We had a nice talk also on Saturday evening after the synod meeting, and I'm looking forward to cooperate with you now, because you are not already a bishop in Finland. I was a former bishop in the Church of Norway. So we have to have a ceremony of consecration for you, and it will take some time, Jakob, won't it, before you now you are bishop-elect, and I will be around for a while. So we hope to get that arranged in the fall, and together with also then showing these the ecumenical character of our work and our church, particularly towards the Anglican Church and the Portable Communion, to have a fine celebration of your consecration as the fifth bishop then in maybe in October or something. So we must come back to that. But I'm looking forward now to be together with you and solving those or ending my period and opening up for your taking over of this very interesting church body as the Lutheran Church in Great Britain is.
Bishop-elect Jakob, what do you think, how can a small church make a difference in such a big country like Great Britain?
I would say that there are many, many possibilities. First of all, it's very good that the LCIGB is a full member of the Lutheran World Federation, and it is also a full member of the Anglican Lutheran Porvo Communion of Churches, which means that the status is exactly the same as any other church. So the size in this case does not really matter. It's a question of how we express ourselves and how we are able to cooperate and approach other people, meaning not only other churches, but different bodies in the society. So it is, I would say that it's up to us. And as we know that the most important resource in a small community, small church, is the group of people. We have many talented people around us, and we really would need to work together and use all the networks available.
Thank you very much for talking to us and taking the time to be on the podcast, Bishop-elect Jakob.
Thank you.
Lutherans in the UK, living grace.
And I think now it's time to thank you, Bishop Doerr, for being with us and explaining things that we have been doing here in the Council of Lutheran Churches and in the Lutheran Church in Great Britain. And we would also want to invite together with us student chaplain Rebecca Daniel, who can share what are the upcoming events on the chaplaincy side. So if she can join us, then we can talk about that as well.
Yes. Yeah, if you just swap, that'd be great. Yes.
Yes, Rebecca Daniel is then leading the student work in the CLC, the Council of Lutheran Churches, and connecting with different young people from universities, not only one university, mm-hmm. but different universities. And that has been always a mission for the Council mm-hmm. of Lutheran Churches.
I think one of the big things that we do as CLC is support international students. So not necessarily specifically Lutheran students, but specifically students that come from elsewhere in the UK. And I think when the student chaplaincy was established very early on in the history of CLC in the 1960s, I think what the formulation was that international students could be bewildered by the new culture in the UK. And just to help them find a place and feel at home, that was very much at the core of the mission. And student chaplaincy has changed very much over time, with or without student accommodation. At the moment, we're in a phase where we don't have any student accommodation. And yeah, that Rebecca is trying to still build a community.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Melis. Yes, we are trying to work in a different way. Right now, the new form of international Lutheran student community, it meets regularly. And the main vision of our work is to foster belonging. And how we are doing that, how are we fulfilling the vision is through our mission. So our mission is to encounter, help the students to encounter the situation and also journey with them to embrace and help them to engage with the issues that they face in their day-to-day lives.
Yeah. And already today you will gather.
Yes. Today we have Tese worship at St. Mary's at Luther Hub. And we'll meet around 6:30 to worship for half an hour. Afterwards, we'll hang around to have a cup of tea. And following that, we'll have a conversation.
This is a monthly event.
Yes, this is a monthly event. If you look at the work plan of the ILSC, the International Lutheran Student Community, is the first 2 weeks I am with the Indian YMC at Warren Street, meeting the students there on Thursdays at late evening. It starts from 7:30 and it goes up to 9:30. What I'm doing there is be with them during the dinner time, engage with them in conversation. Following that, from 8:30 onwards, we have worship and it goes up to 9:30. And that happens every first 2 weeks of a month. And later, the third week, we meet at the Luther Hub, and that's where we have eat and encounter. And what do? We gather together, and we cook, and we eat together. And every month, towards the end of that event, we decide what a dish that we are going to prepare for the following month. And there's a planning team. It works on that. And they enjoy, for some of them, that's the first time cutting vegetables or standing in front of the cooker or doing something, adding some spices into the dishes. So it's a beautiful experience. Most of the students are from the Global South. Mm-hmm. And if you look at their culture, coming together as a community and cooking food together and eating together, it's something very special.
Mm-hmm. And how to find you? What's the easiest way to contact?
Easiest way to contact me via Facebook. If you are a student staying at the Indian YMCA, talk to the management. If you're a student studying at SWAS, talk to the multi-faith chaplaincy group. They have my contact details. And in our webpage, we have my details. My email address and my WhatsApp number is there.
Great. So, Tese worship this evening. When's the next Eat and Encounter?
Yeah.
What time is it? Is it next month in May, the third week?
The third Thursday. Yeah, it starts from 5:30. Mm-hmm. I'm there from 5:30. It goes up to 8:39. I have to literally tell them, please go home. Because the students, they love to be there. Mm-hmm. And because they are meeting new friends. And last week, we had Eat and Encounter at Luther Hub. We didn't cook. We order food from Roti Kings, mm-hmm. and I think that was a catch. Many joined us, and we started to eat, and the conversation point was, how was their life in London? Mm-hmm. And some of them, they said, London is a busy, beautiful city, but you feel so lonely, mm-hmm. if you are here alone. And we started to talk about our education system, how, what kind of support system that they could get some help from, and what were their challenges. And some of them, they said, one example, it really made us to think. One student said, I was the best in my country. When I came here, it was totally different. I begin to lose, get less grades. So I started to self-doubt myself. Mm-hmm. And later, she realized the system is different. So we made a decision that maybe when the opening, when they have the opening day, university open days, probably the chaplaincy should address that issue. Mm-hmm. So I spoke with the SOAS student chaplaincy yesterday, and she confirmed that they have some procedures like that to tell the student, yeah, this is going to be different, and you should not self-doubt yourself. You will get back into the system, and there are these kind of support systems are available. And so it's only that students, they should know where to get that information. Access to the information is something very crucial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much to come to our studio, Rebecca Daniel, the student chaplain of the Council of Lutheran Churches, or also we mentioned the name International Lutheran Student Center. That is also the trademark that we are using. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think now it's time to say goodbye to our listeners and those who are watching us. Thank you, Anna Kraus, for being with us, General Secretary of the Council of Lutheran Churches. And I am Melis Schuld, pastor of the Lutheran Church in Great Britain, in St. Anne's Lutheran Church in London. Assistant Pastor and the Outreach Coordinator for the Council of Lutheran Churches. And we try to be back sooner, already in 1 month. We would like to do those on-air live podcasts from the Trident House, from Council of Lutheran Churches studio every month on the last Thursday of a month. So stay with us and listen also to the previous episodes.
Lutherans in the UK, Living Grace.